San Juan Wright and beginning of the visit with Mr. Eastman. And pretty soon, Izell, this Saturday, the 11th of January, 75, Channel 1 Wright, and beginning of visit Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon with Izell pretty soon, this 11th of January, 75, Channel 1 Wright, and beginning of visit Mr. Eastman, and pretty soon Izell this Saturday afternoon, the 11th of January, 75. Channel 1 Wright, and beginning of the visit with Mr. Eastman, and then Izell this Saturday afternoon, the 11th of January, 75.
Good. And some of them, you got to find how to get there. And there's one of them, I asked a man, I said, well, you can see it through yonder, but how in the world do you get to it? He said, that's your problem. That's your problem getting to it. I said, well, I can get to it. Don't worry about that. And I said, if I have to go up there on I-75 and go down and find it, and I said, down there just a little ways, if I can get off I-75 right there and drive right down inside that fence, I'd go down there to it. And I did. We went to one yesterday.
Yeah.
And then there's some on some county roads. All right.
I say it's raining.
Yeah.
Oh,
see that brand new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a brand new one.
Yeah.
I had an old one.
Yeah, but you want to take and keep this off here if you don't. It's just going to.
You see, I had this old one.
Yeah.
I had it there for a long time. I thought, golly, I'll get that out of sight. So I put it down here.
And couldn't see it.
And I did put it out of sight. When I started looking for it, I couldn't find it.
Glory.
You all still living?
Huh?
Are you all still kicking down there?
Yeah, I guess so. Jesus, I started for the dump this morning with garbage and stuff.
Oh, man, ain't that
and,
good.
I made a thing to go in there for you.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So you'd have to tighten it up with a wrench.
Yeah.
And I started out, and Jesus, I got up a little bit behind the restaurant there. And boy, it the water come right down just as if somebody was pouring it out of a pail, you know. So I swung in there, turned around, and headed back home. God, I headed back home and it quit. There wasn't a drop, not a sprinkle coming. So I turned around again down by the restaurant and went back down. I got over in the dump and it started to sprinkle. And boy, I got rid of that garbage in a hurry. And there was a fella back in there right in front of me, and he had a whole pickup truck load, and I'm telling you, he was a throwing garbage, and don't you think he wasn't? Then there was another fellow that they had just bulldozed it in there, you know, and there was a couple of spots in there, about as big as this room, where they'd uncovered some of that lime rock.
Yeah.
And this fellow had some pails, and he was a shoveling lime rock into them pails, and he was a shoveling to beat all. Well, just about the time that I was getting my garbage all out of the truck there, he had put his stuff in the truck, and he was a coming out because it was starting to rain. Just about the time that I got into the truck, it let loose. And boy, oh boy, how it did come down. I bet that fellow that was unloading that pickup there, I bet he got soaked. I think he didn't. I got out of there just in time.
Well, some people called out here to see if they'd come out here and ride the horse this afternoon. Well, you know, it started raining and then it let up.
Yeah.
Well, they said it's raining in town. Well, I said it's raining out here, but it's let up, so let them come on out here. Yeah. Pretty soon it started again.
I got back home and my eaves trough was plugged up with leaves. And Jesus, the water was just running right out of that. So it stopped raining. Well, I got the stepladder out there and I started cleaning the leaves out. And Jesus, I got, oh, maybe 10 feet and it started right in the raining again.
God, yeah.
Somebody else coming out there, the ones going to ride the horses.
That's our neighbor down here. Tell him come on in,
Faye. All right. Oh.
That's Isaiah. Lives down there across the way. He got bad kidney trouble. Come on in,
Isaiah.
We're just sitting here. I know. This is Arthur Eastman.
I know him.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in quite a while.
I haven't saw you either.
Yeah.
Pull your chair up over there where you can sit down, Isaiah. We're just sitting here sort of feeling sorry for ourselves.
Oh, that's right. How do you feel there, Isaiah?
Well, I don't want to break into the conversation. I just brought you jacket from the list. I was down there, and would I bring it to the show, I think.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That old driveway getting so rough out there, I have to do something to that.
Got full of water holes.
Yeah.
I drive.
Yeah. Geez, the road out beyond that's pretty slippery, isn't it?
You're right. I can't put it just right for the bed.
Oh, yeah. You're right after it rains.
Right. It looks like we don't have a
deal. That road is nice when it's dry. Mm-hmm. Just as soon as it gets a little water into it, geez, you just go just like that.
That's right. It's clay.
A lot of clay down there, ain't it?
Right.
You know, sometimes I come around this way. Do you think you ever try that?
Well, I do. I come in both ways sometimes. On that corner down there, it's pretty bad on that corner there. And it's corner up here.
That's right, the corner that's the worst.
Both corners, right.
It's right off.
Jeez, I woke up in the night last night at 2 o'clock. I happened to look out the window and there was a car sitting in my driveway.
Uh-oh.
In your driveway?
Yeah. So, Jesus, I turned the light on and got the flashlight and I went out around and an Ohio car. There wasn't nobody around it. And so we waited a while there and finally, I called the sheriff. And they sent a man up and we looked it all over and made out there's somebody picking oranges probably because, you know, they had them them bags,
right,
for picking oranges in the back seat. And he said, well, he says it's probably some poor colored fellow that run out of gas. And he says, if you want me to, I'll call in and have A wrecker come and take it down to the compound, but he says it'll cost him $50 to get his car back. Well, I said, geez, they don't need him making any extra expense to somebody. If you think it's just somebody run out of gas, why, we'll wait and see. So this morning, about 7:30, there was a white fella come out there with a can of gas. He'd run out of gas in the night and come out there. And I went out and I told him, I said, but Jesus, boy, you want to be careful where you park your damn car nights. I said, not to say anything to anybody about it, because I said, I had the sheriff up here. And he wanted to tow it down to the compound, and it cost you $50 to get it back out. Ooh, he says. Well, he was just a poor devil from Ohio down here picking oranges, trying to make a living. He said he was out of work up there. Well, geez, I said, there's a lot of them out of work around here, too.
That's right.
And I said, you fellas come down here and you cheat them out of a job. Well, and he said, he's just trying to make a living. Well, I said, you better get a Florida license on your car, too, if you're going to work down here. Well, he says, up there where they're picking oranges, he says there are cars in there with New York and Pennsylvania and Texas and Arizona and New Mexico and all kinds of different licenses on them. He says, they ain't getting any license for to pick oranges. My God, I said, the law says you should.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And I don't know, the law is pretty damn lenient about that, you know. They don't enforce it. God damn it, them fellows there come down here, they get out of a job up there and they draw unemployment insurance. Come down here and work and get the double on it, don't you see?
That's right.
Well, the law won't do anything about it, Mr. Eastman, unless they have a little collision of some sort where the officer picks them up and then he looks at all that stuff, you see, and he'll make something of it.
Well, I know that there was, when I first come down here from New York, you know, by Jesus, and I done a little bit of repair work, and they said, boy, you better get a Florida license on your car before they pick you up. So I did.
Yeah.
And I got a Florida driver's license, see? Well, God, there was for years there that I had a Florida driver's license and a Florida license on my car. And up home, I had a New York State driver's license and a New York State license on my truck. See, so I could drive the truck up there and the car down here. But if you, another thing, if you get tangled up with the law and you've got a license from one state on your car and a driver's license from another state, you're in real trouble there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Well, you're goddamn right.
Is that right?
Oh, Jesus. Back up there when they had the milk strike, you know, years ago. By Jesus, there was a fella up there that had, he was driving a New York State licensed car, and he had a driver's license for Illinois. He was going to school out in Chicago, and he was back there visiting his folks, and he was driving his father's car. And he got picked up at one of the pickets, and they checked all of their licenses, and by Jesus, you know, it cost the union there about $50 to get him out of that deal.
Well, maybe they were just trying to make it hard on him.
Well, they might have been.
If he was one of the pickets, they never got you on anything like that.
Yeah, damn right they didn't. I thought they were going to get me once, by Jesus. I went down cellar and I had about 100. Barrels down there, apple barrels and sugar barrels, you know, and the sugar barrel, you see, is bigger than an apple barrel. And there's some of them were right side up, some of them were bottom side up, one thing or other. Geez, I went right over and I sat right down right under one of them sugar barrels, and I could just sit right under it like that. And the goddamn troopers come down cellar there, and they looked all over, and they rattled some of the barrels and one thing and other, and here I was over in there. God, I guess he ain't down here. They couldn't find me either.
Do you know a fellow named Bloodworth?
Name what?
Bloodworth.
Yes.
I saw him down at the barbershop.
Yeah.
He's sitting up there having his hair cut.
Jesus, he ain't got no hair to have, cut.
I haven't talked too much.
He's like me.
And he just talked Blue Streak.
Yeah, he's a great talker.
Yeah, he comes from Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they all talk like that up there where he come from or not. If they did, they wouldn't have anybody listen to him.
Yeah. He's a great talker. Yeah, he lives right there just above the clubhouse on that road that goes up cornerways up to the church he's there.
Oh, he does. Well, he's right there in the heart of the place.
You turn on that road that goes cornerways there by the restaurant, you know, and
yeah.
Barnard lives here. And then there's the clubhouse up
yeah.
there, and then he's next.
Or gee whiz.
And then on the other side of the road there, that place the J.O. Cabins owns, and then the next place is oh hell, I can't think of that fellow's name either. You know him, he's a plasterer. You know what his name is, don't you?
Yeah, I probably know. I don't forgot myself. Now, bro, I live stuff all through in there.
Hmm.
I know his name, but I can't think of that now.
Well, where do you run across Bloodworth?
Well, they built that house there, you know, and I've known him ever since they built the house.
Oh. Oh, he's a carpenter?
No.
No.
I see.
There was a... He had a place up there in Georgia, and he traded it to this contractor to build this house down here.
Well, that's pretty good. Well, what is he into now?
Bloodworth?
Yeah.
I don't think he does anything, only fish.
He does fish. Yeah.
Some of them fellas, you know, they make a damn good living fishing, and it's strictly against the law to sell the fish, but by God, they sell them.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding.
Do they?
I was over there at the lake one day and working on the plumbing out there. I see this fella hanging around there in the car, and he'd get in the car and sit down a while, and then he'd come out and walk around and get back in the car. Pretty soon I see this fella come in with a boat, and geez, he had a hell of a nice string of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow here was looking them over, and they was talking about the fish and one thing and another. And by geez, you know, I see this fellow put his hand in his pocket, and he pulled out a $20 bill. I was just a little bit far from here where these truck and cars parked out here. He took that $20 bill out and gave it to the fellow, and he took the string of fish and put them in the trunk of his car, and he got out of there in a hurry.
No show. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know whether that's the way they do it all the time or not, but a hell of old Monty in there, she got a damn big freezer in there, you know, and it's full of fish.
Mm-hmm.
She buys the damn fish, and then there's somebody comes there and buys them off of her. I don't know who.
Well, that's right. Well, I just know it's freshwater fish, but they bootleg them, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean... Think about trying to fish or do something myself, I can't do nothing else.
Yeah?
I can't do nothing
else. Well, I know. The old Cliff Hunter says to me one day, he said, what in hell are you working so hard for? He says, Jesus, you'd get out and fish, he says. You wouldn't waste half of your energy, and he says you'd make more money than what you're making.
Yeah, I know him too.
That's old Cliff Hunter.
Sure.
You know Cliff.
Yeah, I know. That's how he do fish.
Yeah.
But he get a little older now, you don't feel like he much as you saw, don't you? Sure, man, you can sell a $1,000 a day if you can catch him. I mean, you just have to, you know, bootleg them, but, you know, you still can sell them.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I know there were two other fellows. That fellow they called Sweetie. I forget what his name was. Calvin, Art Calvin. And another fellow. Can't think of his name. Jesus, they made damn good money over there fishing.
Sure. A lot of people won't wait. You don't know about fish. They make more out of fish than would if you were waiting.
And then every once in a while, either they'll pinch somebody, and then they'll kind of let up on it for a little while, and then the next thing you know, they're back at it
back again. Yeah, when it gets kind of hot, they slow up on it. And
another thing, I was over there working at a different time than that, there were two fellows in the pickup truck from Georgia. Come in there, and Jesus, and they got a goddamn rifle and took out in the lake with them and put in the boat, see? And I says to Freddie there, that runs the camp, what in the hell do they take a gun out there for? Oh, God, he says they're shooting alligators once in a while.
Is that right? That's right. Right out there in the public view.
Yeah. You see, it was just about night when I was there, and they was going out, and they had flashlights and stuff they put in the damn boat. And the gun went out there, you know, that's what they was after, them goddamn alligators.
Yeah.
I was peace, but I don't want to attack them alligators. No.
Yeah,
I've been got any fishing frogs at night too. I don't think I want that job either, fishing frogs. Not at night. If I see one, I might catch them in the daytime, but if I see one.
I was going out that Dungarvan Road one day, I guess 3-4 years ago. Got out there a couple of miles. We stopped side of the road there. There was a bunch of them wood ibis. And they had some little ones there, right side of the road in a little pond hole. And it just nicely got started again. By Jesus, here was this goddamn big alligator come right out into the road. Jesus, man, you know, he was a big son of a bitch. Jesus Christ, he's that big around. And I thought, boy, oh boy, if I ever hit him, you know. And I grabbed on that steering wheel just hard as I could and slammed the brakes. And you know, that lousy bastard, he just reared right up on his hind legs and swung right around like that, and I went right by and never touched him.
Sure.
Yes, sir, he just reared right up and swung right around. I went right by and never touched him. Well, my son-in-law was with me. The goddamn alligator turned and he run through. And it had a woven wire fence there. He stuck his goddamn nose right through that woven wire fence and he shook it a little bit and made a goddamn hole in it and he went right straight through that woven wire fence. We backed up to see what he was doing, and God, when he got through the fence, he just laid right there, see? And hell, we picked up old bottles and stuff, throw it over there and hit him, you know, and he never moved. So my son-in-law and I went back home and told him back home about it, and my daughter and her kids was there, and so they all got in the car and they went up there. I don't know what the hell my son-in-law ever done it for, but he got over the fence. And the minute he got over the fence, they said that alligator let out a beller like a bull. And by God, they said that my son-in-law got back over that fence 10 times faster than he got over in the beginning.
I'm mad too.
Jesus, they said what a beller he let out.
Good Lord.
What was he going to do getting over the fence?
God, I don't know what he had in his mind. Didn't think about it. By Jesus, they said he got back over the fence.
Now, when you saw him there, he was right there going across the road.
Yeah.
And you were going so fast you couldn't stop.
No.
And you put on your brakes, that slowed you down a little bit.
Yeah, that slowed me down, you know, so I was almost to a stop, but Jesus, He reared right up and just swung right around, just like that.
Towards you.
Huh?
Swung right around towards you.
He swung right around so that he was just off the edge of the road, enough so that I had room enough to get by. Because Jesus, man, if you'd ever hit that bastard, it'd wreck the car and those niggas wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, it'd probably turn you over.
Huh?
It'd probably turn you over.
Jesus, he was a big old bastard. Jesus, I bet he's 15, 16 feet long.
Ooh, that big.
Well, but they still move fast.
Huh? By God, he moved quick and don't think he didn't.
Well, the size, you take one of them big boars, you see. Well, they can move as fast as you can get out of the way.
Well, they tell me that an alligator that big... waddle right along up to by a cow and a calf, and all at once you make a side dash like that, and he's got the goddamn calf right in his mouth, and about two swallows, and the calf is gone.
And the cow starts looking around.
Huh? Yeah.
And the cow don't know what's happened. Is that right?
That's what they tell me.
They're pretty powerful, all right.
Yeah.
You got some lodging back down there, haven't you?
Huh?
You got some lodging back down there, haven't you?
Used to be. I haven't seen any back there in a long time.
Oh, I know. I saw some lodging back there when I was back there prying, you know.
Yeah.
I saw two or three lodging back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's been a good while, isn't it?
Sure, that's been around 6, 7 years, I guess.
The fellas from Georgia come down and got him, maybe.
Miss Deedman, you haven't seen Johnny Palmer.
No, not. Well, I went up to Gainesville and saw him, you know, one day, but hell, they've got him in Jacksonville now.
Yeah. Well, they never thought he'd get out of the operating room.
Huh?
But he fooled him.
John's got a pretty tough constitution.
He bound to have.
Yeah. And he had that heart attack, you know, they thought he wouldn't live 3 days.
Yeah. And he had one right after another.
Yeah.
24 hours or something. So he's over there taking therapy.
Yeah.
And getting back the use of some of his...
Yeah, well, you see, he ain't got no use of his legs at all. And his right arm, he said he's got about 25% use of that, and his left arm only 15%. And you see that shot went in his kind of his left shoulder and in his back.
Yeah.
I got an idea that them fellows had that damn shotgun leveled right at his head. And you see, and he got a little bit of a jar in there, and it just jarred him down just enough to take him in here instead of in the head.
You ever find out who did?
They said they had two or three suspects. That John told me that he realized there was somebody tagging him. And he stepped on it, and he said he was doing about 75 miles an hour when they shot him. Well, when they shot him, you see, he slid down in the car, and he said he was probably doing 95 when he hit that electric light pole. Because hell, you know, that electric light pole was that big around. He cut it right off, right top of the ground, and then broke it off again up and under the wires.
And then the wire was hanging down? And
the wire come down onto the car and set the damn car on fire, see?
Gee.
And that man Gibson, I don't know whether you know him or not, that works for the electric company.
Right, I think I know him.
He lives over there somewhere. See, and he come along right there, and he saw what had happened. Of course, he knew what to do, and he called right in for some more help to come and help him there, and they got some more help right there and got that. He got the wire cut off, I guess, off in the car, and they put the fire out in the car, and then they could get John out. John was pinned in there, see?
Oh, gee.
He was pinned in there and knocked out.
Gee whiz, he had it close in a number of ways.
Yeah.
You're right.
If that man Gibson hadn't have come right there, the damn car would have burned up and John in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had about $7,000 with him.
Hell, they'd shoot you for less than that, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd shoot you for 70 cents.
Have you run across anybody who can put shingles on a roof?
Put shingles on a roof? Why,
Uriah. He can do that, but he's all booked up, you see.
Can't you do that, can't you?
Huh?
Can't you put shingles on a roof?
Well, I haven't put on a pallet in my lifetime, but I'm getting where I can't climb.
Oh, I see. How can you say that? This man here can do it.
He's trying to stay off the roof and out of the basement.
Oh, I see. I know he was doing his wake around. I remember him quite a bit because he carried out stuff where he was waking, you know.
Well, there's a fellow by the name of Lefebvre down there at Orange Lake that nailed me for a job. And he's been putting on quite a little bit of roofing around.
Yeah.
He put a roof on for Mrs. Hafler. You know where she lives. Seven Oaks.
Yes, yeah. I can't remember right now.
And,
Gee whiz.
Akins. You know Johnny Akins?
No, I remember him, I think.
He put a roof on up there.
Gee whiz.
Well, he lives there in the Orange Court someplace. I don't know just where.
Yeah. See where. Well, you see. See, I'm leaking.
Yeah.
I'm leaking a number of places. Even the porch is leaking out, Chandra.
Is it?
Yeah.
God, that shouldn't leak.
No. Well, that's something. That's something. I'll look him up. Maybe I could leave word for him somewhere.
Eh?
Maybe I could leave word for him somewhere. Let me tell you what you do, Mr. Eastman. You look at it and give me a little estimate of what you think it would cost. He's just a newcomer for you. I don't imagine it being Johnny Lefebvre.
Lefebvre, L-E-F-E-V-E-R, Lefebvre. I don't believe he's got a telephone.
Uh-huh.
Because he's in that... Jesus, I think... I don't know, in Day's End Trailer Court or whether he's in the Orange Court.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah.
It ain't got any mercury.
That's one they use out at the airport.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, you can see it.
I worked one day for the power company when that goddamn hand would point right down here somewhere. 50 below zero.
Good, good.
No.
Mm.
Yep.
That sounds like Alaska.
What makes it work, Mr. Eastman?
Huh?
What makes it work?
It's got one of them thermal springs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, that's a dandy.
Well, I tell you, all I need is one of them old Pepsi Cola ones. Long one, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my speed. I've got one out there, but it's come apart. I had a...
Now this one here, all you got to do is drive a nail in out there and hang it right up.
Is that all you got to do?
It's got its little things, nails and stuff over there on it, in a package.
Over here?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I can see this one. I can't see that Pepsi Cola one.
Yeah, you can see this with your eye, with your glasses off.
Yeah.
Now, is that an outdoor? That's not an outdoor one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't want to put it up at any particular place. What I'd want to do is put it on a board, and then I could move that board.
Well, you could put it right out on the... Hang it right on the tree out there.
Yeah.
I don't believe the wind would blow it off. Well, gee, that's a dandy, isn't it, huh?
It really is.
Yeah.
Now, you know about these little gates.
About what?
The little gates. Now, the big gates, it's the 12-foot gates that won't work. But if you got, like this little gate out here, you see, you don't want to put that up on the post. You just want to nail that. Just ordinary hinges, and put the hinges on one little strip,
yeah.
And then nail the strip to your post.
Oh, yeah.
And that way, you see, you can take it down and move it if you want to. And then you just use them little strap hinges anyhow. That's all you need. Now, I made that up.
But I'll tell you, he's been able to move to use a number of gates that way.
I put up a gate down Lawrence Dixon's down there, and I put it up. Well, I'll tell you, there was another fella come along, and he helped me, and he picked up on the damn end, and I did too, and we hung it on there, and I never gave it a thought. We had the damn thing bottom side up.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
You see, the post had them spikes come out. There were two of them spikes. See, one up top of the other like that. And we just took and hung it right on there, you know. And they had the damn thing bottom side up.
Let me tell you, Miss Eastman. You see, you got three of these. Now, what could you nail them onto? A little...
I don't know what you would want to hang it up cornerways for. That's the way to hang it, just from the top up there.
These will keep it from blowing.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, that's made to put it on there, and then it drops into that slot.
Yeah.
Well, if you drop it into the slot, how in the devil are you going to... The other slots don't correspond with that.
No, they don't correspond with it. No. Well, let me tell you, you take that home with you. Just see what happens.
Huh?
You take that home with you, and we'll work on it down there someday and put it and mount it. We'll mount it.
Put it on a board.
Put it on a board.
Well, a fella could put it on the board. I know what it could do. You take a piece of board, see, it'd be like this here, and put a bolt through here, and then turn a nut on the back side.
What's wrong with that? Suit me. Just get a piece of
plywood.
Yeah, all weather plywood. Or else
I don't believe that, you see, a piece of 12 inch wouldn't be without you fastening it together. No, you see, you got to have something about 16 inches wide.
You know, it might be better to get a little strip of metal. Because that plywood will eventually just come apart.
Well, I know where I can get some heavy metal. Because I bought one piece off of the fella. I bought a piece 4 foot square, and it's 22 gauge metal. It cost me $2.25. And he's got some more of it there, and I think they got some smaller pieces. It's over there to Mrs. Boutet's. You know her, Mrs. Boutet.
I never even heard of her.
I don't think so.
Huh?
No. I can't place her right now.
She's a French. Well, she was an American woman, but she married this Frenchman. His name is Boutet. It's B-U-T-E-U-X. Boutet. And she lives in the Cecil McRae place. You know where that is.
Well, that is Maggie Trace, right. I know
up there by the water tower.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're speaking about. Well, I never didn't know those people lived there.
And Cecil, you know, used to have a few cows and peddled milk in McIntosh.
Right.
Well, he had this barn down there. It's 12 by 24 inside. Well, I've gone in there now, same as you come in this way from the house. I've made a bathroom in this corner.
Right.
Well, then I'll be in the bathroom. She's going to have a kitchen. And then be in the kitchen is a bedroom. And then on this other side, the living room. And by Jesus, when they built that building, nobody ever thought that to turn into a place like that. You take all of that cement blocks, you know. You got to strip it and then nail that paneling on, see?
Right.
And then what I was having the biggest trouble with, in the front of the cows, where the cow sheds were set on, they had a row of cement blocks. Well, I've got them out of there. But in front of the cement blocks, the damn manger, you know, curves up like that, all that cement. And geezer, man, that cement is hard, and I don't mean maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got about half of it pounded out.
Yeah.
There was a neighbor over there, and he come down there, and he was helping a little bit, and I asked him if he wanted to pound some of that out, and I ain't seen him since.
He had more trill out there in the back. He's still back out there?
Huh?
He had more trill out there in the back. He's still out there? Or they moved it?
A little still?
A trailer. House trailer.
Oh, there is a house trailer out there, but there's somebody living in it.
Right. Well, my lady was there during the time I went back out there on Christmas stuff. I also used to take some fertilizer and put it in the garage right there at the house.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to feed it on there and get fertilizer and get a lot of stuff and then move that trailer back out there in the bay.
I don't know what place you're talking about.
Correct the magnet by the drugstore and turn.
You know where the water tower is?
Yes, right up that hill from the drugstore?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well it's up there just back of that a little bit.
No, I don't know where.
Well,
that
you know
is.
It's one house on the left after leaving. You go on going out a little piece out of town.
If you go out that road by the water tower, the first house Mrs. Joyner lives. And the next house is the Cecil McRae place.
Oh,
see, that's
see.
Where
right.
Well, let me tell you, you know the old McRae homestead.
Well, but that's down there by the railroad track, isn't it?
I thought it was up there from the Shell station. From that Shell service station.
I don't
well,
know. Could
right
be
up there where Robert Williams is.
Well, I know he's very, that's Francis McCrea.
Yeah.
Well, I think they sold that out up there.
That's a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
but
out.
That's where them boys are brought up.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know too much about it.
No, I think they lost it in the Depression or somewhere along like that.
Well, what's that McCrea place down there, or the Boardman down there by the railroad track?
That's John McCrea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. That's
well, how'd he get that?
Well, I really don't exactly know.
He lived, the old man lived back up there, up the railroad track a little bit there,
right.
Ben, where the old packing house used to be.
Yeah, Boatman down there. That's right. A fellow used to, I think on that, he's called him Sam McCoon, I believe. Then after his death, and I think John McCrea, I think he some kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't remember about that.
Mr. Eastman, you know that old divan that's in there?
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
It's what?
It's big. And it's heavy.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to get it out of there. I can get it out all right, but I can't put it anywhere. The only thing about it is it's got a nice bed. It's got a fine bed in it. Now, if I had it out there in that little trailer, be nice. But it's at least 30 inches wide.
You can't get it in the door.
I don't think so. And that little, the trailer door don't open all the way anyhow because it comes up against that pole. There's no such thing as cutting the back of it off.
This out in the truck and be back in this minute.
I think I'm going to take off. Mr. Miles, while I'm here, I thought I would ask you, you want to rip that place back over there where you had peanuts last year, or anything on that side over there? I was down in Lister just now talking. He's trying to rent tank that he got over there. And,
yeah.
And wasn't too much left. And Mrs. Alder Spike, brother. You know Mrs. Alder Spike, don't you? Her brother around there, they want to do a little planting. They don't know too much about it. They want me to help them out. I wouldn't be able to do too much work, but I wouldn't be there with them. And I told them I would see you and see the, what you want to rent that piece over there. Or maybe the whole side over there. I don't know. They want to do a little farming.
To Viola?
Right, her and her brother. And I'll probably be in with them a little bit. I'm mad. Ain't too much I can do, but I'm talking the whole a little bit. But I ain't driving no tractor. I can't drive no tractor. But they said they would get somebody to do the tractor, you know. So I said, well, I'll do the best I can. And
how much ground they want?
Well, I really don't exactly know. I see him probably there tomorrow. And if you want to rent that whole side, no, they probably maybe take the whole side because they want to plant some garden, like mustard, turnip beans, maybe a few peas. And they want to plant some peanuts. But I want to plant some peanuts too. So figure that whole strip away where you had peanuts, you might plant some maybe next month, then maybe some the next month, and this some all the time, you know, continue like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe plant the whole plate of peanuts, and maybe back down here, you plant all them in probably greens or something else, something like that. Maybe a few beans or something else, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like what all you want to do, but he said he got to retire, he ain't going to work no more, so he want to get out and do a little farming, you know. So maybe probably, if you need him, maybe he can help you a little bit around here sometime. He ain't doing nothing. He said he gonna quit.
Yeah.
He work on construction, but he said he got enough of it now.
Yeah.
He's 67 years old, so he gonna put it down.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanna come out and on the farm. So I told him I'd see you and told you.
Her mother lives
that
there.
That cane grass is pretty bad in that field over there, and that's
a
heap of horn, you know. I ain't able to do too much horn. He ain't either. But still, he done rent 10 acres of it. I told him while I was over there. So his cousin got come up here and from Dana and plant some watermelon back over there for most stuff.
Uh-huh.
They say he done rent 10 acres already.
Uh-huh.
So
now, that's not right there next to you.
Right, it's up in the other end up there. The other part in the field.
Oh, the other part of the field.
So the back of the house, I'm going to plant that at the back of the house.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe right beside the house. But all the other parts of the field, he done rented that.
Mm-hmm.
Why, he said 10 acres of it.
I know a woman.
And he going...
It's not the one.
And he, you think he might put some watermelon there?
He said the fellow's going to plant some watermelon.
He's a lawyer,
with him.
Too, but he don't work
with
in
him.
The law business.
Oh, some fellow from Dana. Nah, from fellas from down south coming up.
Now, you're not talking about Viola, you're talking about Leslie now.
Well, I'm talking about Leslie now.
Leslie
right.
Has rented it to this other fella.
Right.
I see.
Right. 10 acres. Went 10 acres over there.
Yeah.
So, I can go take the back of the house right there where I've been getting all the time and maybe right beside the house. So I had some oak planting one time, I think. He told me I can get that, but on the fee of 10 acres, he done rented it already.
Mm-hmm.
So, this fellow has all the brother over there, and a brother. Well, I mean, I think they want about 10 acres, maybe. Well, they didn't say it, so if we want a farm, we want not under 10 acres, about 10 acres, something like that. So, I thought about, you know, you might would went that way where you had peanuts and maybe the whole side, then maybe. I mean, I don't see an actual about it.
Well, let me tell you. That side has got enough slope that it'll wash. I have a feeling that ought to just stay in grass. But now up on top, you still got 5 acres up there.
She come down here to Florida, down to Gainesville there with him.
I had trouble with that. That washed bad out there. It took me a long time just to get the ditches out of it.
Sure enough.
Oh, yeah.
Gee.
You see, that's a pretty good slope there.
Guest house.
Well, coming down the hill. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know in that other field over there, downhill there. And, he did a little washing and do too much. But I know around the middle of the field, from the road up there, on the corner, the road, water come right down to the middle of the field, wash out a big ditch. I mean, you have saw it.
Yeah.
Right down to the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe probably yours would be a little difficult if water don't come off the road out of the field, do it?
The inside, see?
Well, right there by the in front of the house, I think it do.
Yeah.
Yeah, right in front of the house, I remember it froze.
Yeah, it comes down.
Yeah, right there, dude. Yeah. That's right.
I got it just about finished up. All I've got to do is...
It don't come, most of it takes pretty good rain, most of it. If they'd put a little bigger pipe out there, and let it, so the water can clear, they got a little pipe like that.
Right, that's right. It probably stopped up.
Yeah, it's probably stopped up.
See, you nail the strips on them, one by two strips out of those blocks.
Well, I think what he was thinking about, if you wanted to rent it, probably put peanuts back over there and coming down there where the grass was. Put that out, put maybe mustard green, turnip greens, and maybe a few string beans or something like that. That's what he was thinking about. I told him I didn't know. I see you and see what you said about that side thing. Wasn't too much I could do. I told him I'd start with, but I might do a little bit, but I can't drive tight anything like I used to. So we said we'd get somebody else to do
about
it.
5 by 6.
There's
and at the end of that, we're going to make this kitchen.
A little piece.
She bought one.
I don't know about 10 acres. That's right smart. The way this is cut up, you know.
She got one of these electric stove plates that goes.
I see. We're using all this over here for horses.
And she got a.
Right.
Now, there would be a good place right straight up over yonder along that lane. That'd be a pretty good place, a good strip in there. But then you'd have to fence it off again, you know. And I don't know that there'd be 10 acres in there. 10 acres is a good bit.
Right, well, it's probably not to be 10 acres. He's just saying, I mean, you know, about 10 acres. Or maybe what do we can get, I mean. So, I mean, you know, maybe 5 or 10 acres, maybe that piece up there where you had peanuts, maybe I can do with that. Maybe she doesn't try to do too much to start with.
Well, I've let this little girl have it to work her horses up there.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd have to talk to her and see if she could, see if any place else she could use. Now there's a little piece right down here back of the lane that's pretty good ground. It'd be, I don't know, you know where it is, right down there at the foot of the hill.
Yeah.
Now, there might be some along there he could use.
Down through on that side. Well, if you went in.
Why don't you tell him come up here and look at it and see what he. Viola, I know her. She'd come up and take a look at it.
Sure, okay.
Tell Viola to come up. I'd love to see her anyhow. I don't know her brother.
Well, okay, I took her to the store just now. I took her back home. Well, before I was on the list.
Yeah.
He stay in town. He'll be out today or tomorrow.
Well, you tell her. You just bring by sometime, and we'll look around and see what she could use.
Okay. All right. I sure will.
Yes, I'd love to see her.
Okay. So, you talk with the girl about this piece of where you had the peanuts there, and I would like to go in on the peanuts myself. Well, I like to plant some peanuts.
Uh-huh.
By the house, so I might need a pound of water on the east right there, right close by the house.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Right. So, man, that grew up pretty good right there by the house, but that cane grass is so bad.
Yeah. It really is bad.
Yes, sir, it really is.
Yeah, work you. Keep that stuff out.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to do. Stay out of that cane grass as much as long as I can.
Yeah.
I can't do no better, but I'm going to go back in. So he said I rent 10 acres of it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I eat them, I can get the rest of that.
The hell.
Yeah.
But the cane grass is, you know, it's lots of work in that cane grass.
Oh, man, lying.
Yes,
sir. And a lot of luck, too, I think.
Hey, you here.
You got to keep ahead of it.
That's right. We're going to get away from, it got away from here last year, then. We had a walnut, so much rain.
Yeah.
And all it really got away from. All that rain, we couldn't get nothing, do nothing.
Yeah.
It went so long.
Bill, I'm glad you come by.
Yes, sir. I'll bring Viola by. He's her brother.
Okay,
Isaiah,
we'll see you.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir.
Come on in.
This is the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman, and then Izell this Saturday afternoon, 15th of January 75, Channel 1 right around 1500, Channel 1 right around 1500. Then to visit Mr. Eastman, then Izell, this January 15th, Saturday, January 1575. Channel 1 right around 1500. And the end of the visit, Mr. Eastman, then Izell, is Saturday, the 15th of January, 75.